Our first lesson this evening is from Revelation chapter 14. We begin in the sixth verse. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join me now as we read our psalm responsively, Psalm 46. It's found on the back of your bulletin, page 4. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter.
He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord,
how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth.
He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Our second reading tonight is found in Romans chapter 3. We begin in the 19th verse. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that no one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise as we are able for our gospel verse tonight. It is God's Word is Our Great Heritage, number 239. God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever, to spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while time shall last, your church may hold it fast throughout all generations. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. Good evening. Tonight, I thought that we would talk about price tags. Do you know what price tags are? When I was young, in high school, I worked at a grocery store, and someone like Rich Sunday probably knows what I'm talking about. We used to have a stamper, and you could change the prices on there, and then you put ink on it. It was kind of messy, but you would stamp every single can, every single box, every single package with the price. Why? People need to know what the price is, right? So if they know what the price is, you hold that for me. If they know what the price is, then they can say, oh, I have the money to buy it, or no, I don't, or that's a good price, or that's a bad price, right? And then nowadays, they have these barcodes. In fact, a lot of stores you go into, they just scan it, you go beep, beep, and then it's like an adding machine, and it adds it all up, and it says, this is what you owe, right? You know what I'm talking about. So whether you're buying clothes or shoes or a car or a house, I mean, everything has a price tag or a barcode, right? And you have to do what to find out if you can afford to buy it?
You have to either scan the barcode or look at what the price tag says.
Look at the price tag, scan the barcode, and then you go home and you check your bank, right? In other words, when you want to purchase something, you say, well, what do I got in the bank? You want to hold this for me? You say, what have I got in the bank? And what have I got there?
I have a piggy bank. And I have a piggy bank.
What's inside of that piggy bank? Is there anything in here?
No.
Invisible money?
No.
No, there's no money in there, right? But when we want to purchase something, we need to know if we can afford it. We need to know the cost and the price. So we scan it. We look at the price tag. And then we go to the bank. What if we wanted to purchase salvation? What if we wanted to get saved and go to heaven? We'd need to know what's the price tag, right? So would you go to the bank? Or would you go to Jesus? Yeah, see, you see these price tags here, right? This one says free, this one says the cross. So how much does God have to pay to purchase our salvation?
You get to play with, Jesus.
Jesus. What did Jesus have to do?
He had to die.
He died on the cross, right? So the price of our getting saved is the cross. So what does it cost us?
Nothing.
Well, it's free, right? But sometimes if somebody says, you say, what's the price? What's the price tag? And you say to somebody, You say to somebody, you say, oh, it's free. You might think that they're pulling your leg. You might think that they're not telling you the truth. So God says to us, your salvation has been paid for, right? You see that? So the price of your salvation has been paid for, right? It's free. Do you believe it? Huh? I can't hear you, honey. You got to speak louder.
I can see myself.
See yourself? In the piggy bank?
Oh, yeah. I can
see okay. So, all right. So the price of our salvation has been paid for, right? Do you believe it? Because that's all it takes, right? In other words, the gift is yours. And some people will just leave it. They'll say, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe that Jesus died for my sins. I don't think I need forgiveness. They might just simply leave the item, even though God says, you know, this is a free gift for you. They might not believe it. But it is, right? On the cross, Jesus purchased heaven for you and me, forgiveness for you and me, salvation for you and me, right? And what is it? What's the price tag? Free for you. Because of faith in Jesus. Pray for you because of faith in Jesus. Let's pray together. And before you go back to your seats, I'm going to mark you with the cross so that everybody who sees that cross on you with the water of baptism, everybody will say, oh, God purchased you. God purchased salvation for you. God gave you Jesus, didn't he? They're going to know that. And even if they can't see it, you can tell them. You can say, you see this cross up here? That means that Jesus paid for my salvation. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus,
you
paid the price,
you paid the price
to get me saved.
It's a free gift.
And it makes me free.
And it makes me
free. Amen. All right, come here. Here, Hopi, come here. Right. Thanks for coming up. Hang on to my piggy bank for me, okay? I know what you're thinking. It's a free gift, right? No strings attached. We call that grace. And that's what we celebrate every year on Reformation Sunday. But in truth be told, and it must be told, we celebrate God's grace every single day. When we look at that price tag and we see the cross, and we know that God paid a big price to get you and me saved. And we know that he has given that gift to us just for the believing. Just for the believing that Jesus is Lord. And that, my friends, is the eternal gospel. We're going to look at those two verses tonight that Lee read for us from Revelation chapter 14. You know that when it comes to the book of Revelation, that it is not a prediction of the end times. It's not forecasting the future, but in fact, in its own words, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the 22 chapters is from Jesus and all about Jesus. In other words, it's the eternal gospel that we hear proclaimed and delivered in our first lesson for tonight. We celebrate tonight the grace of Almighty God. We celebrate tonight the song that only the redeemed, only the saved can sing. You already sang it. This is the feast of victory for our God. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia, alleluia. Right? Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Worthy to take the scroll and break its seals. We sang, this is the feast. Worthy is Christ, as our hymn of praise tonight. This, my friends, according to the revelation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the new song. This is the eternal gospel. This, according to the book of Revelations, in a nugget, in one little summary note, according to Revelation, is God wins. This is the victory, the gospel, the good news, that God wins, and because God wins our salvation through the atoning sacrifice, through the blood of his son Jesus on the cross, salvation has been purchased, you have been purchased, and it is God's free gift to you. But I know how it works in the world. You're really leery, aren't you, of believing that anything is actually free. There must be some catch. Somebody must be trying to pull my leg or take advantage of me. So you may choose tonight not to believe it. But it is, in fact, simply for believing that the gospel is for you. And it is called the eternal gospel, the everlasting gospel, that God has purchased you and won salvation for you on the cross of Calvary, in the name of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no other name. No other name. That's the eternal gospel, offensive to many people, but whether they want to receive it, acknowledge it, or believe it as the truth still remains. The truth still remains. People don't have to accept it. People can say, well, I have my own version of the truth, but the truth always stands regardless of whether you or I or anyone else chooses to believe it. And the truth proclaimed by St. John, exiled in the island of Patmos, through the revealing of Jesus the Christ, Messiah, Savior of the world, when he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in worship, he gets the vision. In fact, he receives several visions, not forecasting the future, but proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Lord, the eternal gospel. In his book, Proof, written by Timothy Paul Jones, he tells the story of his middle child. He and his wife have three kids. The middle child was adopted. Now, she was adopted before Timothy Paul Jones and his wife adopted her. She was adopted, but she had some behavioral issues, and in the family that she lived, well, she wasn't really treated like a daughter. In her first adoptive family, when the family went to Disney World down in Florida, everyone went except the adopted daughter. So she grew up believing that she was really not valuable, that she really wasn't part of the family, and that she really wasn't good enough. And eventually that first adoptive family gave her back to the system, and she ended up in a foster home. And then Timothy Paul Jones and his wife adopted her. And it wasn't easy because she had all of these behavioral issues. And then they decided to announce to the family, we're going to Disney World. Well, their adoptive daughter, who already had behavioral issues, became even more difficult to deal with, no matter what kinds of rewards or punishments that they divvied out. It didn't work. She would lie, she would steal, she was just mean. Well, they made all the arrangements for the trip to Disney World, and the day of the departure came, they got on the plane, they went, they landed, and they did everything. They stood in the long lines. They had great food. They had fantastic rides. They got to the hotel late that night after they'd seen the final parade, and they were exhausted. And then Timothy Paul Jones looked at his little daughter, the middle child, and he said, so what did you think of the experience? And she looked up and she said, Dad,
I know that I finally got to go to Disney World. Dad, I finally got to go to Disney World, and it's not because I'm good enough. It's because I'm yours. Timothy Paul Jones says in his book, Proof, this is the outrageous grace of Almighty God, that with the offering of his son Jesus on the cross, he has adopted sinners into his household, into his family. So we get to heaven. So we get the forgiveness of sins. So we get redeemed and saved. Not because we're good enough, but because our Heavenly Father says, you're mine. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. You know Revelation, but I would suggest that you read chapters 12 and 13 and 14 again in the next couple of days. Because when you read chapters 12 and 13, you find out how real the devil is, the dragon. He has a couple of henchmen, the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. Those are the false prophets. Those are people that take over the political government organizations. Those are people that infiltrate the church, and they're wolves in lamb's clothing. And they get marked, branded, stamped, or we would say barcoded, with the mark of the beast, 666. That's chapters 12 and 13. You see, the dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, the father of all lies and liars, has been thrown down, cast down from heaven. And you know what he's doing? He's making life hell on earth for people that keep the commandments and that follow Jesus and profess faith in him. That's the revelation, the revealing that St. John receives in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And then comes the interlude in chapter 14. And with that interlude, you hear about the 144,000, which is an inclusive number of all the saved, the saints, the witnesses, the martyrs, those that have received the gift of the eternal gospel. And then comes our text for tonight. St. John says, and then I saw another angel. And then I saw right directly above me another angel. Or in the parlance of our 21st century world, we would say, in my face. In my face, John says, right directly above me, I couldn't miss it even if I closed my eyes and even if I put blindfolds on. In my face, I saw another angel. You can do whatever you want to try to corrupt the gospel, the eternal gospel. But the truth is, God is going to keep putting it in your face, right directly overhead. The word angel, angelos, means messenger. The martyrs, the witnesses, the saints, the redeemed, the saved, who sing the song, worthy is Christ, the Lamb who slain. This is the feast, the victory for our God. Those are the ones who not only receive the eternal gospel, but they preach the eternal gospel. Then I saw in my face, directly overhead, an angel with an eternal gospel. In the words of St. John, in the book of Revelation, you could maybe say, and the angel had, instead of an eternal gospel, he had the Alpha and Omega gospel. That's what eternal everlasting means. It's always been around. It's always going to be around. It's not going to be forfeited. It's not going to be substituted. It's not going to be revisioned. It is The gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. It just is the truth and the way and the life. It's the gospel of Jesus, the Christ. Then I saw in my face, directly overhead, the Alpha and Omega gospel, the eternal gospel, which must be preached. It's the gospel needs to be gospelized, or the proclamation needs to be proclaimed. It must be preached to all the people who dwell on the earth. All nations, tribes, languages, and peoples. I mean, these are only two verses tonight, folks, but they are packed full of power. The gospel, the eternal gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed to all the people who dwell on earth. And then you hear how inclusive this saving word of God is. God wants all people to be saved. That's the gospel. The gospel is not universalism, that all people are going to be saved regardless of what they believe or what they do. That's not in the Bible. But God does want all people to hear the gospel, and so God will send another angel with the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. And did you notice that it says, then I saw another angel with an eternal gospel that needs to be preached to all people, and he said with a megala, with a megaphone voice, this is not a message that is just kind of whispered in an alley. This is a gospel that is proclaimed out loud in the face of all people who dwell on earth. Do you see? This is what St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos, saw. With a loud voice, he said, "Fear God and give him glory." Fear God and give him glory. Why? Because the hour of judgment has come. The wrath of God is being poured out, and only the death and resurrection of Jesus can satisfy the wrath of God for you and for me and for all creation. Judgment is coming. That's why the eternal gospel must be preached out loud, boisterously, to all people. Do it out loud. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the seas, and the springs of water. Fear God. Give him the glory. Worship him. That's what St. John is doing, even though they tried to shut him up, even though they tried to lock him away. It's like St. Paul says to the Philippians, his epistle of joy, they thought that they were going to lock me up and put a muzzle in my mouth, and instead they gave me a megaphone. God is giving us opportunity after opportunity to preach the gospel, the eternal gospel, the Alpha and Omega gospel, that Jesus is Lord, that he's the firstborn of the dead, that he's the faithful witness, that he has in his hands the keys to death and Hades. Read the book of Revelation, and you will hear the proclamation of who Jesus is. And you'll find yourself singing, "This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah! Worthy is Christ." You'll sing it. You can't help but sing it, because that's the new song of those who are redeemed and those who are saved. Or you could use that old gospel hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Yeah. Wash me. Cleanse me. Cover me with your blood, Jesus, or I'm dead. That's what Paul says to the church at Rome when he's writing about the eternal, everlasting, Alpha and Omega gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous shall live by faith. And it haunted Luther. It haunted Martin Luther. I mean, we're not here tonight to venerate Martin Luther. You know that he was born in Eisleben, November 10th, 1483. You know that he died on February 18th, 1546, in Eisleben. Luther once said, the first thing I want you to know is this, don't call yourself Lutherans. Did Luther die for you? No, Christ died for you. Call yourself Christians. He says, and then he asks the question and he answers it himself. He says, what is Luther? A stinking bag of maggots. Luther was all about the eternal gospel. When Luther was settling a dispute with some friends in Mansfield and then went over to Eisleben, and he had all kinds of physical ailments, a heart condition to be sure, and it was at 1 a.m. on February 18th that he cried out in bloody pain, God, the pain, God! And his friends all came around him trying to comfort him. And you know what Luther was doing in the midst of that bloody agony and pain? He was reciting over and over and over again John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For over and over. And his good friend Jonas came and he said, Martin Luther, are you prepared to stand on what you have always stand, the gospel that you have preached? And Luther said, yeah. In his pocket was found a piece of paper that said, we are all beggars. This is the truth. And so, it was in Wittenberg at the Castle Church, the same place where Luther had posted the 95 Theses, that his funeral was held. And Johannes Bugenhagen was the preacher. And you know what text he used for Luther's funeral? Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. I didn't know that until recently. That's why I'm preaching on it tonight. Because this is the eternal gospel that Martin Luther preached. But it didn't begin with Luther. It began in Genesis chapter 3 when God said, this is the gospel. You're clothed with animal skins, but I'm going to clothe you with the blood of my son, Jesus. The ancient serpent is going to bite his heel, but Messiah Jesus, the seed of Adam, is going to stomp on his head and destroy sin and death and evil forever. And then the eternal gospel was reclaimed and proclaimed again during the days of Noah and the flood, and reclaimed and proclaimed again with Abraham and Sarah. Through your seed, all the people of the earth will be blessed, and reclaimed and proclaimed through the prophets and through the kings. And even during the reign of Caesar Augustus, who called for a census. But God is in control. Because it's God's gospel, his eternal gospel. We don't get to replace it. We don't get to remanufacture it. It's his gospel. And there's no other gospel, Paul says. And Paul says, if anybody, an angel from heaven, or even I myself were to preach to another gospel, let that person be damned. Let them be accursed. There is no other gospel. And the angels sang the song of the redeemed. You know it. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of hosts praising God and saying, glory, glory, glory. Do you remember what the angel said? Fear God. Give him the glory. Worship him. There was a thing on Facebook a while back that kind of disheartened me a little bit, maybe a lot of it. It was someone I knew from the past. They're probably in their early 40s, married, have kids. His father had died, and he was grieving, and he was getting, you know, sympathy from a lot of people. His father didn't believe in Jesus. His father was not a Christ follower. And so this young man that I knew years ago, he said, but if there is a God, then he must be good. And everybody must get saved. Because if my dad's not in heaven, I don't want to be in heaven either. You see, in the end, everyone gets to choose. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. Everyone's going to worship. Everyone's going to be a disciple. Everyone is going to be marked. Will it be the mark of the beast or the mark of the cross of Christ? Will it be worshiping the dragon and the beast of the earth and the sea, the unholy Trinity? Or will it be the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And will we follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father but by him. Or will we follow the Father of all lies? That's the revealing that St. John is seeing and hearing when the angel comes and when he says, fear God, give him the glory, because the hour of judgment has come. And there's only one thing that can satisfy that judgment and that wrath. And that is the saving gift of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the truth. It's not about me saying, yeah, but I think I'd like to be in the driver's seat and I'd like to write my own version of the gospel. The gospel is universal. It must be preached to all people who dwell on earth. All nations, tribes, languages, and peoples. And that's why God keeps sending the angels. So that people will know what the eternal, everlasting gospel is. Do you remember that story in Mark chapter 2? Mark began his gospel with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is announcing the victory beforehand, telling us how the story ends. And in Mark chapter 2, Mark says that Jesus was in Capernaum, and there was lots of crowds. He was in a house, and he was teaching. And four friends who had faith were carrying their friend on a pallet who was crippled. He was paralyzed, unable to walk. They couldn't get near because the crowds were so many. So what did they do? This is a call for endurance. That's what St. John on Patmos says. This is a call for endurance. They went around behind. They got a ladder. They hoisted up that pallet with their friend on it. They started digging through the grassy, thatchy stuff of the roof. And then with a rope, they lowered their friend down. And it says in Mark 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, there were some religious people there, and they were thinking in their hearts, who does this man think that he is? Only God can forgive sin. Who does he think he is? But Jesus knows the thoughts of our hearts. And so he looked at them and said, so tell me, which is easier? Is it easier for me to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, rise, take up your pallet and go home? but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And then he looked at the paralytic and addressed him. My child, I say to you, get up, take your bed, go home. And he did. And everyone glorified God. The eternal gospel is the forgiveness of sins, because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, paid in full for you, is eternal life. You believe it. You believe it. And so you proclaim it. You proclaim it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.